Hi, this is Alan.
And the Grizz.
And just a few quick messages before the start of the episode. First of all, thank you very much for listening to Rise of the Robots. If you can, we really appreciate it if you can rate and review us at the end of the episode, obviously, on your podcatcher of choice. Ratings and reviews are how we get onto the charts. Really, we would really appreciate it. Also, if you subscribe on your podcaster of choice, that'd be fantastic. Also, if you want to get in contact with us, well, you can email us at rotrpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also get in touch with us on our Facebook, which is Rise of the Robots, and our Twitter, at podcastrotr. That's podcast R-O-T-R.
And finally, just a reminder that Rise of the Robots is held under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 4.0 International License. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the Rise of the Robots podcast. I am the Grizz.
And I'm Alan.
And today we will be covering Robot Wars Series 3, Semifinal B.
Indeed. And this semi-final, the opening video gives me a bit of hope. Because the pit's back!
And then it's immediately taken away.
Yeah!
And also, there's a bunch of, like, barrels and balls and bits and pieces all lying about the place. They could have cleaned that up.
Is it the pinball?
Yeah, it looks like they just played pinball. But even then, though, the pit is not in the right place. Because the pit is where the pit would be during battles. But, as you know, during pinball, that's not where the pit is. So,
yeah.
Why would the pit be there and then stuff for pinball be lying about the arena? If that's going to be your sweeping shot for an episode, would you not want to, you know, tidy that up a little?
Well, I mean, maybe they just wanted to catch Craig Charles' spectacular flip.
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic. I did not know that he had that in him.
Absolutely.
And I'm surprised that this is the only time that you ever get to see it.
Absolutely. And also, what a random episode to do it in. Not the final.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. It's like, that would have been a perfect entrance for the grand final, where he just walks out as normal.
I mean, I suppose there's always the risk when you do a significant flippy move that you aren't usually known for in the early 2000s, that you're liable to land on your head. But we then have a bit of punishment from Craig Charles.
Mm.
I think this is his best intro.
Is this the one with a guy got in a fight with his treasure press, but they strained it all out? Yeah. This one was quite good.
Would be proud of him.
I'm sure he would if I knew who that was. But, yeah, so just while I was bringing up the pages for me to do my bit, I do have some moderately exciting information about one of the robots that's in this semi-final that we'll get to when we talk about said robot.
Which, the lineup of this episode is interesting. Stegosaurus.
Yep.
Hypnodisc. Cassius Tissue Pit. Sorry, Gravedigger.
Oh. See what you've done there.
Blade.
Jeez.
Bob.
Big old Bobo.
Yep, big old Beast of Bobman. Evil of Evil.
I really hope you weren't going to start doing that.
I'm not going to be doing it for long.
No, thanks.
And 101 and Scudder's Revenge, which I actually know what that's a reference to. I get that reference now.
Okay, well, it's only been, 20 plus years that I've wondered what Scudder was and why it's taking revenge. So please enlighten me, Squire.
So, in Red Dwarf, the service bots are called Scudders.
The little robots that clean up the ship and stuff?
Yes.
So that's a Scudder?
Yes.
is this Scottish Revenge is.
And Red Warthogs.
Yeah.
I mean, that said, I do know that once Taco's Revenge is complete, that the next robot I'm planning is going to be a DRD from Farscape.
Interesting.
Unfortunately, I can't give it a flamethrower, but oh well.
Mwah. I mean, one could wish. Maybe you could give it a lighter.
So anyway, the lineup to this episode, as we said, it's a bit weaker than you'd expect for the semi-final. That said, you look at the robots that missed out on the chance to be in this lineup.
Yes, let's see.
So one of Pussycat or Cassius.
Ugh.
Mortis.
Mm-hmm.
And Razor.
Yeah, I mean, even like looking at this lineup, it's like, yeah, okay, you say it's definitely weaker than the first one, like at least on paper. But one of these is not like the other. And, like, you got to have this glaring look at Blade and, like, you do not deserve to be here.
Let's get to Blade. We'll get to Blade eventually. Yeah. Just whenever you see Blade, just remember, he's from the episode where Razor was there.
Yes.
So just keep that in mind when you consider who his opponent was and how his opponent did the last time it faced a Crusher.
Crusher.
Indeed. Before that, however,
we will get into our first match.
Yes.
From Kettering 101.
Which is a silver tank.
Thereabouts.
Apparently a spike bot, but realistically it's a pusher bot, which considering its shape is a mite unfortunate.
I wonder if 101 is Shotzi Blackheart's favourite robot. Those of you that watch NXT will understand that reference. From Essex, Scutter's Revenge.
The Red Dwarf reference with phenomenal power. This robot could have been, well, if it had gone by who actually won the fight, this robot would have been Pussycat.
Yep.
If we'd gone by the team that apparently threw a fight, this robot probably would have been Cassius too.
You know, I would have put, like, a whole bunch of money on Cassius too. Not only being here, but I would argue that Cassius too might have won the whole damn thing.
Well, when you consider who his next opponent would have been.
Yeah.
And how it was performing in that match.
Damn shame. Damn shame.
Yeah. But before that, this match. So this match basically goes the same way for the vast majority of the fight, which is 101 charges at Scutter. Scutter manages to make sure it hits its bulldozer blade and it goes up it. This happens several times.
Yep. It is not exactly the most exciting of matches.
To be fair to Scutter's Revenge, it is perfect strategy.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know.
You actually see it is very careful to make sure that it is always facing 101.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's really all it has. And, like, it's trying to protect the rest of the body by, like, constantly having that scoop at the front. And there's not much to say about this match, though, which is, like, kind of unfortunate. Like, Scutter kind of starts off really well, but just progressively as the match goes on, just starts to really slow down to a point where it just kind of gives up entirely.
I mean, are you saying that there's a Scutter bot that's unrollable?
It would appear so.
Wow.
Damn it, Scutter.
Scutterbot that's unreliable. That doesn't happen every series.
You realize I'm gonna go away and watch like all of Red Dwarf now, so that any robots in the future that I don't get references to is like, oh, there may be a Red Dwarf reference.
I mean, you could watch all of Farscape and get what I mean by a DRD.
I mean, I could do that, but I probably would more likely want to watch Red Dwarf.
Fair enough.
Although that does create another new tag team for our fake Robot Wars tag team league, when you can have Inquisitor and Scottish Revenge there as a tag team as the Red Dwarf references.
Yes.
Or RDR for short.
Yep. And after slowing down and eventually breaking down right in front of Shunt, with a little assistance from 101, the house robots feast on Scutter.
Poor Scar. I genuinely liked him. I mean, he was a star of a video game.
I mean, Spawn of Scutter and... What's Spawn the again. Third Scutter?
Spawn again.
I mean, this team don't have to go through some evolutions of design.
Yeah, but I always just seem to, remember, and it might be proven wrong as we go through this. I seem to remember Spawn Again not being that good. I seem to remember that they always seem to be plagued with some kind of like engineering difficulties and would just constantly break down.
Well, that's, as I kind of alluded to, that's sort of the Scutter trademark is. Terrific robots, terrible reliability.
Yeah.
Anyway, we get on to our next match.
From Thorpe St. Andrew, Grave Digger.
Which is Brown Cassius.
I mean, yeah, like the fact that they actually go out the way to mention that it's like a Cassius clone on the episodes is like, I would have thought that you would have tried to stay clear of that, of mentioning plagiarism.
Cassius was better armoured.
Yes. Yes, it was.
I mean, at least even Firestorm has an additional weapon. This is just a clone of Cassius.
Well, I mean, like, technically Firestorm has three weapons because they kept those tracks.
Those tracks as well,
in front of it, yeah.
Improving on the Cassius design, whereas this just seems to be more of a copying,
yeah. Although we're going to need to have a discussion about this match.
Yes, I agree. Who's his opponent?
His opponent from Southampton, Stegosaurus.
Stegosaurus, which it was so impressive in the heat.
Yes, in the heats.
Yeah.
What happened?
Right. I genuinely do not understand how Stegosaurus won this match.
Yes, my last note in this is I completely disagree with the judge's decision.
I have no understanding how in any way remotely... I mean, in terms of the two robots lock horns, go face to face... And Gravedigger wins the pushing match.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't even win the pushing match. It wins the pushing dash and slams Stegosaurus into a saw.
Why does Stegosaurus always start the match sideways?
I take it as a tactical choice.
But, because at the start of this match... When activate was said, like, it kind of turns and then, like, it bumped against the wall, which didn't make it look that well-driven. I just thought it was really weird. As the match starts, like, the two of them have barely even collided, and the front armor of Gravedigger is already, like, broken.
Yeah. Like,
on the kind of the wedge part, like, just part of it's already buckled and kind of bent. And it's like, yous have barely even, like, collided yet. How the hell did that happen?
Well, I mean, you can tell from the start of the fight, already Gravedigger's chassis is twisted going into this match.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already, bits of it are off the floor. It's just, I mean, the issue is, I wonder if it's, they looked at the robots for damage and at the end of the fight, and they're like, oh, Gravedigger is really badly damaged. And it's like, yeah, from all its other fights.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good shout, actually. Like, because, I mean, like, we've established that the Gravedigger armor is not very, you know, good. I mean, every fight, it seems to come out looking like death. But, you know, they fix up and then go out and then it just gets wrecked again, but they tend to win. But just here, like, there was at least two really good flips. Like, there was one where, like, Stegosaurus was literally vertical. I feel like if it maybe was just a bit more in the center of the arena, it might have eventually got it over. And then there's the flip where Gravedigger actually gets in under Stegosaurus, flips it on its side, and then Matilda just comes and instantly knocks it back over. And it's like, no, Matilda, like, exited her CPZ to do that, and it's like, I don't think that's fair at all.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah. And then
Gravedigger, like, loses the fight because of it. And it's like, no, I would, like, we have both said at the beginning of this fight before we started talking about it that, yeah, Gravedigger should have easily won this fight. And so I would genuinely love to find out what the judges were thinking on this one when it comes to, their decision to let Stegosaurus go on.
Yep. There would have been I think there would have been an interesting clash in the next round, particularly if, and we then consider, this next match could have had Razor in it, which meant, in theory, we could have had the winner of this next match taking on Gravedigger, and can you imagine what Razor would have done to that armor?
It wouldn't really need to do anything. You just look at fucking Gravedigger and it falls apart. I
can't wait. You know what I can't wait for? Because in 2 weeks' time from this recording, we're going to be covering the first World Championships, a.k.a. the birth of...
The Rise of the Razor.
Yes.
Well, just before we continue, like, do you not find it very funny how we can literally back up Gravedigger as being, like, a good robot, but then also, in the same sentence, make fun of it, like, mercilessly?
Yeah, it's simultaneously a great robot, and you're like, of course it's great, you got the, you know, it's a tracing paper robot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it did better than Cassius 2 then.
That hurts my soul.
Yeah, tell me about it. Oh, man, like, so recently I have been playing so much Robot Arena 2, and they have, like, a Robot Wars mod, and Cassius 3 is in it. It's so fucking cool.
Oh, wow. They're not doing, like, the Buckle Bots bots as full heavyweight size bots.
Yeah, I need to try and, like, because I kind of need some help with figuring this out. So I have two different versions of the game. I've got one that's Rossetti's, what do you call it? Like, the Rossetti's versions of them. So he's, like, the pure, Rossetti's replica, as it's called. And so he's quite well known in the community of Robot Arena for his replicas of robots. And he has a fucking ton of them, man. Like, oh my god, there's, like... It is a who's who of robots from the past. I mean, some of them definitely look a lot better than others, but you have random robots like Angel of Death, and then there's a really good looking Barry from season one, and then, like, just a whole bunch of other random robots. You're like, wow, I did not think that I would ever see this in any kind of video game, even one where you can make your own robots. But you know what? That video game chatter can be saved for another time, because, as we've alluded to many times, we could easily do an episode or episodes on robot combat video games.
Hi guys, Alan
and Douglas
here with a slight break from the main show. Just say thanks to the people without whom this podcast would not be possible. Firstly, to Greg Watt, who designed the Rise of the Robots logo, before I butchered it slightly.
Also want to give a quick shout out to Technolax, who do our theme song, Master Machine. You can check out Technolax on YouTube or their website at technolax.com to listen to all of their royalty-free tracks.
So, we should actually probably talk about the next fight.
Do we have to?
Yes, because I think we need to give Bob some credit here.
Fine. From Bodmin Community College, the Beast of Bodmin.
It's Bob! It's Bob in his last and finest hour.
Aww.
All kidding aside, I genuinely believe that this is the best performance ever from this team, this fight,
really?
This match. I think this is a spectacular performance.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay, so let's get into the fight then, and we'll discuss
into
this.
His opponent first.
Oh yeah, because of that's part of the reason why I wanted to skirt away from this so quickly. From Newbury, Blade.
So, it's yellow, black, and yellow and black.
It
also,
sure is.
One little thing I did notice, they edited the time that Cease was said during the Spike Blade fight.
Oh, really? Well,
they display Cease being called as Spike's being pushed into the pit, as uh-huh. opposed to a clear 10 seconds afterwards.
Really? What was that, to just build tension or something?
I don't know.
So, as I mentioned earlier, found some interesting information. It is about Blade.
Okay.
So, Blade's big brother was intended to compete in the Fourth Wars and was seeded. However, it dropped out along with fellow Series 3 semi-finalist Trident at the last minute. Both Centurion and Suicidal Tendencies were given the final seeds instead. So both Centurion and Suicidal Tendencies were not meant to be seeded robots. And
I knew that.
And Trident and the Blade's big brother were actually meant to be there instead.
I know, I would have been interested to see what would have happened. Maybe Blade would have had a weapon that worked.
I mean, the weapon on Blade worked, it just didn't do anything because it wasn't that good. Like, but it did technically, like, turn.
I mean, this is a really dominant display. Beast of Bobbin is pursuing Blade throughout. What happens is, it takes Bob a little while to get his tusk underneath Blade.
Mm-hmm.
But he does manage to flip over Blade with his weapon.
The first and probably the only time where that specific flipping arm tusk thing was actually used to flip over an actual robot.
But hey, it did do it, and it's probably the most effective that robot has actually been in a battle, in my opinion.
And that's you saying that as a that's you saying that about a former Robot Wars champion.
I still maintain, right, the Nemesis fight, it didn't actually do any damage. It tore some fur off. The Killatron match, okay, yes, it got a good flip on a robot with the ground clearance of your average wheelbarrow.
I mean, true, but, like, it did take some good driving to get under it.
The grand final, the only time it really did an effective attack of its own that wasn't just someone driving up it like a ramp was when it took out Recyclops and knocked its chain loose. Killer Hertz killed itself. Its battle with Onslaught didn't work.
Yeah.
It's battle with
Cassius?
No, not Cassius. The battle it had with King Buxton. King Buxton set itself on fire.
Yeah, and even during that time, we we said that we thought that King Buxton was kind of winning that match until it caught fire.
And then it faced a proper good robot and lost.
Mm-hmm.
Beast of Bobbin's fights to this point was getting jobbed out to crush it until it managed to get one of the tracks loose. Onslaught killed itself. And what was Beast of Bobbin's final?
Beast of Bobbin's final, because it faced Onslaught again, and then, oh my god. It faced, give me 2 seconds, I can find this out, because I have the wiki open. Bleep, Beast of Bodmin. It faced Crusher in round one, Onslaught round two, and then Invertebrat. Oof.
So, yeah, Invertebrat, which wasn't a great bot.
No, it sure wasn't.
This is probably the most dominant display I remember seeing from this team.
Well, you know what? Now that you've ran through literally every fight it's had, like, I can't disagree with you.
Anyway, we'll get on to the final first round match.
Yep. From Cardiff, Evil Weevil.
Which is Panic Attack wrapped in fiberglass. It would be really bad and awkward if it was against a spinning disc.
It sure would. What, a spinning disc like From Oxford, Hypno Disc.
This robot, Evil Weevil, is so lucky. If it had faced round one Hypnodisc, this would have been a massacre. If it had faced series four beyond Hypnodisc, this would be a massacre. It lucked out that Hypnodisc was obviously by this point having massive weapon issues.
Yeah, so... Like, the thing is, like, as we kind of, like, spoke about, like, this seemed weaker, but for some reason, as much as we kind of make fun of Evil Weevil, it ain't that bad.
Yeah, but it's made... The issue is it's armoured with fiberglass.
Yeah. I mean...
Fiberglass against
Hypnodisc.
I mean, fiberglass is what you make a canoe out of.
Ugh. I'm just it checking... I've still got Evil Weevil on the screen. I want to try and see if it tells me what Evil Weevil 2 was made out of. Because it kind of looks like it was the same.
I think it was the same, yeah.
Ugh.
But anyway, regardless, Hypnodisc, I mean, this battle, Evil Weevil does get, it takes a few good blows.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't get absolutely destroyed. But it is clear from this match that Hypnodisc, and we do see this very often with spinners. Spinners, what people forget about spinners, and it's one of the reasons that, for example, Bite Force is so impressive, is spinners, every time they hit a robot and they cause that massive amount of damage,
mm-hmm.
the robot has to take that amount of energy against itself in the spinner.
Yeah. It really needs, like, which puts a lot of strain on the motors that are involved in it.
Absolutely.
And plus, this was, like, a lot earlier. Like, obviously, it seems as if Team Bite Force really have a much better idea of what they're doing, but it just almost, like, watching the origin of Hypnodisc is quite interesting because I always seem to remember Hypnodisc doing, like, really, really well in Series 3, and then I forget matches like this and the match with Berserk where, I mean, like, Hypnodisc does knock out Evil Weevil, but it barely damages it.
I mean, you say it barely damages. Evil Weevil is destroyed by the end. There's huge chunks of armor missing. It's just not as much armor as you would expect.
Yeah, but like that's the thing. When I seen this match on the card, I was like, oh dear. I don't say remember this, but I was like, yeah, I would imagine Evo was going to get like completely mauled here.
Absolutely.
And I mean, it got knocked out, so, as I said, but like didn't really do too much.
Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast, where we watch the original DC animated movies, starting from Batman Mask of Phantasm and continuing on to Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman,
The Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Victorian Steampunk Batman,
The Flash,
Batman Beyond,
Green Lantern,
Old Man Batman,
Martian Manhunter,
and plenty more versions of Batman.
Lots and lots and lots of Batman.
You can find the DCAU Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU Podcast and subscribe today. So we move on to the two semi-finals, and we start out with the unworthy Stegosaurus.
Yep.
Versus Bob. And from now on, he is Bob. He is Winking Bob.
Winky Bob.
Well, Cyclops block Bob for most of this fight.
Yeah. Looks like he got a black eye.
Yeah. So.
And also the fact that, like, you know, we have now just completely turned on Stegosaurus, who we were absolutely gushing about in his heat, and now we're like, no, he's unworthy.
Yeah.
Or undeserving, sorry.
I mean, it's when I sit and go, we could have had Razor.
True.
I mean, what a message to send if Razor... Particularly when you consider that the winner of this match then went on to face Hypno Disc in the grand final. We almost got... This is as close as we got to Hypno Disc Razor.
It baffles me that they never got around to that fight at any point, like in Extreme. Well,
apparently they did try and set it up in Extreme.
Oh, really?
And both teams went, no.
What do you mean, no?
No. Look, they were both asked, can you do it? And I think especially Razor went, no. Not happening.
But
if we end up in a tournament, fair enough, but we're not just doing it for the sake of doing it.
That's dumb. I hate yous. I hate all of yous. Why would you do that to us?
But can you imagine Razor versus Bob?
I would love to. I would love to see that.
Could Razor have taken out one of the eyes?
Oh, man, that would be hilarious. Like, just an eye, like, sprawled across the fucking ground.
Anyway, we'll get to the actual match itself. And Stegosaurus seems to finally find its mojo a bit again.
Yeah.
It's when you see these two robots you realise how huge Beast of Bodmin is.
Yeah, Beast of Bodmin is a... No pun intended, it is a beast. It is a massive fucking robot.
What actually happens, the first time the two robots collide, bits of the front wedge fall off Beast of Bodmin.
Oh yeah, like, every time that Stegosaurus, like... hits into Beast of Bodmin, like, the front of the angled area just, like, curls in on itself.
I mean, you actually see, after a while, and after charge, Beast of Bodmin just kind of goes in the corner to die.
Yeah, it just kind of gives up. After a while, it's just like, I will die here.
And Stegosaurus just keeps ramming it into the wall.
Yeah, because it finally found its speed again, as we mentioned. It's like it did not seem to go that well in that last match, and it kind of had its big, you know, thunk, like rams in this match.
Yeah, this is actually probably back to the robot that destroyed Napalm levels of robot.
Yeah, the robot that we were gushing about in their heat.
And to complete the humiliation, Bob gets floor flipped.
I'm genuinely surprised that it moved at all because of how big it is.
Yeah.
And also, I just find it really funny, like, watching the Series 3 version of the floor flipper, where it just kind of goes, meh.
Yeah, it is a sort of, eh.
It's just so, it's the Orange Cassidy of Robot Wars Arena Hazards.
So, all you need is pack to motivate it. So we'll move on to main event. Sorry?
Yes, please. Another one of those matches would be great. Or just pack back on AEW. But nevertheless, this isn't my revamped wrestling podcast.
Your revamped wrestling podcast, you say?
Yes.
You'll need to send me an advert for that. Our main event of the evening. 101 versus Hypnodisc. This match, if I thought that the Hypnodisc Berserk match was kind of biased towards Hypnodisc, I genuinely think Hypnodisc got a bit lucky here.
Oh yeah, I would totally agree.
Because Hypnodisc's weapon just isn't there this fight.
It was like there for like the first maybe two or three hits, but then those two or three hits didn't really do anything. And then it just, you notice the weapon just was either stopped completely or just barely started at some points. I think it was lucky.
You see this moment where Hypnodisc goes, ha-ha, we're going to beat you. We hit you with the disc in it.
What? Oh,
fuck.
Because especially since, like, the tracks are so exposed. On show. Yeah, they're so exposed that I would have thought, like, all I would have needed was one or two Hypnodisc shots straight to the track and the track would just shatter, but it didn't happen. And then, as we say, like, the disc just stops spinning throughout the fight, and I feel like if this was against any other robot that had a more impressive weapon than that pokey spike that does nothing, like, Hypnodisc would have been done here.
Or even if there'd been a pit, because 101 just had so much pushing power relative to Hypnodisc.
Yeah.
That was the one thing, was that if there'd been a pit here, Hypnodisc is done.
Yeah, because there even is a point where the two of them lock up in the middle of the arena, and originally
you actually see Hypnodisc going, I'm holding him up! I'm not holding him.
Yeah, it's like, I'm doing it, I'm doing it, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. And the battle goes to judge's decision.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time ever, the judges actually have to go and physically look at the bots and actually physically inspect them because it's that close.
Yeah, like for damage specifically. Like, so like this is the one of the things I wonder about. Like, Hypnodisc's disc stopped working. Does that count as damage done by 101, or do they just take that into account that the disc has stopped?
I'm not sure. I still don't know. Until you actually see the script sheet, I don't know exactly what. Anyway, it's a very close decision, and Hypnodisc does take it.
Yeah, but I would say that was definitely a squeak out win.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that was your main event of this episode.
Anyway, Hey guys, Alan here. Just taking a quick break from the podcast to let you know that if you are enjoying this podcast and you want to hear more, the whole archive is available either on your podcatcher of choice or on the Audio Boom website. Alternatively, if there is some other podcasts you would like to listen to between listening to us, there is a list published on the Robot Report of several of the most popular podcasts, a podcast list, as it's referred to on the website. We will have a link in the description of this podcast. So, on the podcast list at the Robot Report, it lists the podcast in question, a quick description about the podcast, and all the links that you can go on to access their episodes. The podcasts that are listed include Behind the Bots, Extreme Scrutiny Club, Roasting Robots, Roboteers Stand By, The Drop Zone, The Robocast, The Robot Wars History Podcast, The Shuntcast, and of course, Rise of the Robots. So if you check out that page, it will give you plenty of listening between now and your next episode of Rise of the Robots. Let's get back to the final part of this week's episode. That was your main event of this episode, which does mean that the grand final is set for next week.
It sure is.
It will be Stegosaurus Hypnodisc. Firestorm and Chaos 2.
Should have been Toe Cutter.
Oh, wow. I mean, it's a heck of a lineup.
Yeah.
It's definitely the four best. Even allowing for Razor, Pussycat, Cassius. I think Stegosaurus maybe is a little lucky to be there.
Yeah, agreed.
But I actually think Firestorm would have given Cassius something to think about.
Yeah, if it just wasn't in the wrong place at the right time.
Absolutely.
But the last little thing before we move on was the little poem that Amy of 101 read to Craig Charles after they lost.
I didn't actually, I kind of tuned out by that bit.
I think it was kind of sweet. I mean, like, she looked absolutely like she was so close to tears. And to be honest, with a bit of justification though, like she deserved to be close to tears because 101 came so close to being Hypnodisc in that match.
So close. I mean, it's absolutely 101 was nearly a grand finalist, and again, much like with Joe, fair play. Child taking the feat with far more dignity than several other people do.
Yeah, I mean, like there's like some teams, including
a certain other team next season.
Ooh. That'll be an off-mic conversation.
Oh, no. Well, here's the off-mic conversation. My God, Razor are sore fucking losers.
Next season? I don't seem to remember this, so fill us in after we get this done.
It's part of the episode with Razor and Pussycat. The Gentleman's Agreement.
Okay. I feel like I remember it a bit now that you say that.
Yeah. That's when, like, I think it's Aeolus gets really ranty.
Oh, really?
And starts ranting. But, oh, we all have agreements and we don't attack once the robots ceased to be able to fight.
Immobilized.
And you're just like, okay.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye out for that, definitely.
Anyway.
Yeah, but so yeah, you're right though. Like, Amy and Joe both definitely took these losses on the chin, and yep. I think that's probably why, like, you know, I don't really make as much fun of them as I kind of do with some other teams with kids on it, because, like, I mean, like, this is me saying this because I watched all these episodes growing up, so when I hate, like, kids and teams, it's because I didn't like them as kids when they were, when I was growing up. And again, it probably all just stems from severe jealousy that I was never part of Robot Wars at being the same age as them. But it's just, like, it is just sometimes when, you know, a team comes in with a really shit robot and then there's a kid on it and they think that they're going to win the entire series. So when they lose their first match and they're bawling in tears, and it's like, I'm sorry, buddy, but what did you expect? Look at the state of your shit robot. Look at max damage that you didn't even fucking turn on before you put in the arena. Like, what do you expect?
So, now that we've done the bashing kids segment of the podcast, on to the trivia.
Why don't I believe that's actually going to become a segment?
The Grizz hates kids.
Yep.
Oh, you're going to hell.
So me and Sane have sat down, and we have had this reservation booked for multiple years at this point.
So, the second round defeat of Beast of Bodmin was the only time Bodmin Community College failed to reach the grand final and signified their retirement.
Boo, I kind of wish they came back for at least one more season.
The second round match between 101 and Hypnodisc signified the first time that the judges descended from their panel to inspect the robots up close. This battle has been judged to be the closest in history.
In history?
I think this is probably one of the closest in history.
I would not say it's one of the closest in history. Granted, no other match I can think of right now comes to mind, but there are definitely ones where I'm pretty sure were more tense and more...
Maybe, I would argue, the only one I could maybe argue, quite frankly, is the... Oh, what match was it? Because the issue is, most of those matches, it's dependent on how you measure damage and what percentage you measure damage with.
Yeah.
Well, this one, there wasn't really any damage.
Yeah, there's probably a couple of scrimps and scrapes, but nothing, like, major.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of the closest in history, I think, to the actual term that uses in the thing.
I mean, that's just me playing devil's advocate, obviously, as usual, because, you know, that's the kind of shit that I do.
So, from this semi-final, only Hypnodisc, Team Jurassic Park, and Team Scutterbots managed to make a semi-final again.
Ooh.
This semi-final had 6 newcomers and 2 veterans, contrary to semi-final 1, which featured 3 newcomers and 5 veterans.
Hmm. I would have loved it, I would have loved if they had, like, kind of a veteran semi-final and then, like, a newcomer semi-final.
Well, they did have a new blood tournament, so...
Yeah, but doesn't everybody hate that tournament because it's boring? Tune in in 3 years' time when we get to the new blood tournament. I said 3 years.
2 years. In 2 years' time, we might even be on till series 4.
Did I say 2 years? I thought I said 3 years. Maybe I thought 3 years and said 2. Nevertheless.
Yeah.
You got any more trivia?
That's it. That's our trivia.
Okay, so let's see. The unofficial over and under performer, I've got to say, unofficially, Blade definitely overperformer.
Well, the fact that it got there.
Yes. The fact that it was drawn in an episode that had Razor and managed to get out of that episode as the winner of the entire episode is mind-boggling.
And
underperformer, because I technically have one for this, even though they are an official, Gravedigger. Because, as we say, he should have won that fight. Like, 1,000,000% should have won that fight.
The underperformer, to me, is always a robot that performs less well than its ability intends. Which actually leads me to a rather controversial pick.
Oh, my God. Here we go, because I think I have a feeling of who you're going to say.
Underperforms.
And I think you're right.
Hypnodisc couldn't destroy a plastic, well, a fiberglass robot, and it couldn't beat 101 convincingly. No offense, but 101 should not have been able to stand a chance.
Well, the fact that you called it a tank at the beginning of the episode was quite interesting because it really did absorb, or dare I say, tank hits from Hypnodisc, to use another fellow podcast trope.
Yeah, but it just never quite did it for me. It wasn't as good as I would have expected from them.
Do you know what it is? I think like everybody looks too fondly on its first two matches, and then everybody else seems to forget how much it actually struggled in these later fights.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, like, when you look at Robogeddon and the stealth matches, like, where he just demolished, like, these not very well-built robots, and then it struggled very much against Berserk, and in fact, like, when you look at that match again, like, Hypnodisc did not even beat Berserk. The fucking Spike of Doom beat Berserk, and it couldn't self-rate itself. So, like, Hypnodisc was essentially just lucky in that fight. And then Evil Weevil died, like, I mean, I would say that probably most of the reason Evil Weevil died was because of the hits it was taking from Hypnodisc. But even then, during that fight, I don't think the disc was really working at 100%. And then the disc died halfway through the 101 match. So, like, yeah, like, Hypnodisc is definitely going on a downward kind of spiral here, while still managing to win, which is very bizarre.
Which is really worrying when you're about to be in the grand final against the most impressive three robots so far.
Yeah. Very, very weird.
Anyway, we will get to that next week.
Yes, indeed, we will.
As we enter Robot Wars. The Re-Armageddon.
The Ramageddon. Ooh, Ramageddon, that sounds delicious. It's just an Armageddon of noodles.
Because much like WWE, once in a lifetime.
Never before, never again.
1 year later.